श्रील गुरुदेव की जय, श्रीमन महाप्रभु की जय, श्री हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय, श्री श्री राम गोविंद जी की जय, श्री श्री गौर नित्यानंद की जय, नृसिंह चतुर्दशी की जय, श्री भगवान की जय, भक्त प्रहलाद महाराज की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर प्रमाण More crying yoga. For the ones yesterday's class. So welcome to all of you. Thanks so much for coming. Good afternoon, and very happy Sri Nisrimha Chaturdasi. Very grateful for your presence, association here, and. Well, the Vaishnavs have invited to share some words on this occasion on appearance of Sri Nisrim Bhagavan, Sadaishwari Purnam, as our Guru Maharaj mentioned in the morning today, one of these unique phases of the Absolute, which is also considered along with Sri Krishna, with Sri Ramachandra, having this fullness of what makes them Bhagavan, these six opulences sometimes mentioned by Parashara Muni. So, in our Gaudiya tradition, we are very much inclined towards, we are quite biased towards our deity, which is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, I confess I'm quite biased in that direction by the grace of my Guru and the Vaishnava. So we will share some words, some thoughts about Sri Nisrimha Bhagavan through the filter, if you want to put it like that, of our Istade, the Istade of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, Sriman Mahaprabhu. Mm-hmm. So we have our golden lion also, no, in our Sampradaya. So that we will try to make some connections about half man, half lion, and full golden lion, if you want to put it like that. So how Nisrimhadev manifests in Gaur Lila? For us, Gaur Lila is, as we always explain, the gateway to any other Lila, although it is also a destiny unto itself. We don't like to think about Mahaprabhu and his Lila as a mere bridge towards somewhere else, but also as a destination, but also as a bridge to anywhere else. No? So whenever we speak about any other avatar of Bhagavan, we go to as have this tendency of trying to see that through the Leela of Mahaprabhu. Like a month ago or something, we were celebrating Sri Ram Navami in one Krishna Balaram Mandir in Queens, in New York. So also we try to do this exercise, if you will. No? Let's try to speak about Sri Ram through the Leela of Mahaprabhu and how Ramachandra manifested in Mahaprabhu's Leela. That's a very unique thing. Mahaprabhu's Leela, you will find all these different avatars expressing through him, because basically all these avatars are aspects of him. And so it's important that we get accustomed to think about Mahaprabhu in these terms, you know? Because sometimes without even noticing we may create some dichotomy of Nisrimhadev is here and Mahaprabhu is here, and they're like two different personalities or something, and it's important to tie these points and understanding Nisrimhadev is an aspect of Mahaprabhu, basically. As we sometimes say, God is an aspect of Krishna. Today we're presenting the notion of Nisrimha Bhagavan being one aspect of Sriman Mahaprabhu, the full face of divinity. And with this, we are not downplaying Nisrimhadev, but actually it's the best way we can possibly glorify that lion by invoking the golden lion. Basically. So I remember last year we actually focused our Nrsimha Chaturdasi celebration. I was here? No, I don't remember. Too much travels. Travels and travels. But we concentrated on Prahlad Maharaj, which is of course one other of the many ways of addressing Nrsimha Lila. Generally, Nrsimha Lila is called Prahlad Charit, actually the main character of the whole history is Prahlad Maharaj. I mean, Nrsimhadev appears for a few minutes, do what he has to do with Hiranyakashipu, and the Leela is over. But Prahlad Maharaj is the one who really makes Nrsimhadev manifest. Nrsimhadev, as we will maybe speak tomorrow, because there is some connection with Radharaman here. But Narasimhadev is not born out of a stamba or a column, but is born out of the womb of Prahlad's bhakti. That's the real, in this case, mother and father of Narasimhadev. Narasimhadev has no father, has no mother in one sense. He's the godhood. But in one sense, he's born out of Prahlad's love and devotion. Srimad Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. So last year we focused in two qualities of Prahlad that my Guru Maharaj likes to emphasize a lot for us sadhakas, which are his selflessness and his universal compassion, both of which are quite characteristic of Santa Rasa. And sometimes we very quickly may say, we don't care for Santa Rasa. Mahaprabhu even didn't come to give Santa Rasa, he came to give Charibab. Dasi Sakhi Vatsali Madhur, not Santa Rasa. But actually, if you analyze some Santa Rasa Bhakta like Prahlad and these qualities of selflessness and universal compassion, you understand I need to have those things in place for my Braja Bhakti project. No? Because if not, it's just like science fiction in my own mind. No? I think I'm almost going there, but we are not walking the talk of selflessness and universal compassion as Mahaprabhu did. So that was last year, just mentioning to not forget the importance of those two. But again, today we will try to find Narasimha in Gaur Hari or Gaur Simha. Sometimes Mahaprabhu is called Gaur Simha also, the golden lion. And Gaur Hari, Hari also means lion, interestingly, one of the meanings. Yesterday we mentioned in Sanskrit one word can mean many things. So Hari can mean thief, but also Hari can mean lion, can mean frog, can mean many things. But today we will concentrate on not the frog avatar, but golden lion, Mangoda Hari. So first I'd like to speak about how Mahaprabhu is considered a simha or a lion. And then we will speak about how Mahaprabhu is the lion, if you will. One thing is a lion, another thing is the lion. So I'd like to share some words and some verses from Shastra in this connection, where Mahaprabhu is called as such. First, we have this famous verse that I've just invoked in Mangala Charan, Narpita Charim Chirat Kiranayavatir Nakalum, Samarpaitumun Natajbalarasam, Savakti Shriyam, Hari Purata Sundara Dhyuti Kadambita, Sadari Daye Kandarish Purato Vasatinandana. It's a famous verse by Srila Rupa Goswami, quoted by Krishna Das Kaviraj in his Mangala Charan. Basically, he's saying, that thing that has not been given for a long time, now is being given in extreme way, extreme dimension, breadth and depth. And that's being given by Hari. And Hari here means lion, because the last line of the verse is Sadahri Daye Kandaresh Puratuva Satchinandana. Of course, Mahaprabhu is described as Satchinandan here, but he said, may that Satchinandan roar in the cave-like of my heart. So, of course, a lion is the one who roars. And he's called Hari in that verse. So the blessing of this verse, because that verse is the Ashirvad Shloka of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the aspect of the Mangala Charan, which where blessings are being given. So Rupa Goswami said, may that golden lion roar in the innermost chambers, of cave-like chamber of your heart or something. So we have there one verse in Shastra where Mahaprabhu is addressed as lion. A roaring lion, and the roaring has to happen on this section, basically. And then I wanted to share two more verses from Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Krishna Das Kaviraj further depicts Mahaprabhu as simha, in this case using the word simha. So he says, Chaitanya simhera navad vipi avatar, simha griva simha bidya, simhera hunkar. Thus, the lion-like Lord Chaitanya has appeared in Navadvipa. He has the shoulders of a lion, the power of a lion, and the loud voice of a lion. So yesterday when one child was crying, when I spoke about crying yoga, now we need one lion roaring. That may be a little scary, probably. I don't know what to do. And the second verse is, Sem siha basuka jibir hidaya kandare, kalma shadvirada nasri janhara hunkare. May that lion, now comes the blessing, may that lion be seated in the core of the heart of every living being. Thus, with his resounding roar, May he drive away one's elephant-like vices. So this is a pretty much, if you will, graphic analogy, you know, of the lion and what the function of the lion and how why Mahaprabhu is compared to a lion. So there are very many ideas in this connection. So why Mahaprabhu is considered a lion? Let's mention a brief one of them. One, he has a golden form. The lion has a golden form also, if you will. Of course, Mahaprabhu is the golden of the golden, but they have this similarity. A lion has like fine waist and broad chest and shoulders. So here Mahaprabhu is mentioned also, he has very big, powerful shoulders. Then a lion has long hair, till this side. Mahaprabhu, golden lion, has long hair to that side. The lion is considered like the king of the jungle or something like this. Not the most powerful of all. Mahaprabhu, thus, is the most merciful and powerful of all the four. On another note, this is not mentioned in the verse, but Mahaprabhu was born under Angur Purnim. He was born under the Leo constellation. So they have a lion there as well. So in astrological terms, we also have our Gaur Simha. And of course, a lion is roaring and Mahaprabhu is roaring very deeply. And sometimes the example is given, a lion is staying in one cave and the lion goes out to hunt and some elephant enters the cave. Problem. So when the lion is returning and sees the elephant, the lion will just roar. And the roar will be reverberating inside the cave and the elephant will like, I have to get out of here as soon as possible, basically. So of course the elephant is comparing this analogy with the Hatamati. Sometimes we hear this idea of the elephant-like offense, of the crazy elephant that ruins the whole nice work you are doing in the garden or whatever. So that's compared to the things that have to be get rid of in our heart. So Mahaprabhu, like a lion, enters the cave of our heart, roars very loudly in Sankirtan, and all the Nartas are retired one after another. Chetu Darpanam Arjanam. That's the very first effect of Sri Harinam Sankirtan, interestingly. Seven effects made in this verse, first verse of Shikshastra. Just with the first one, all these elephants are get ridden. The cave is clean, basically. Now we can begin the decorating process, as my Guru Maharaj likes to say. You want to ornament your heart, first you have to get rid of all the stuff that needs to be thrown for the wind, by the window. So Guru sometimes also renders that function. Interior decorator. First, you throw all that is not worthy, and then we start to ornament. So in this way, we find some reference in Shastra to Mahaprabhu as a lion. Because of this reason we have shared, a lion. Now here it's not directly speaking about Nrisimhadev. It's just Gaur Simha. He's a lion, the golden lion. But now we will speak about Mahaprabhu as the lion, which is who is manifesting today's Nrisimha Bhagavan. So which connection is there between Nrisimhadev and Mahaprabhu? But before that, I'd like to share some words in connection. As I mentioned before, all these different avatars are expressing themselves at times through Mahaprabhu. Because Mahaprabhu is, as Krishna is, avatari. So avatari means the fountainhead of all avatars. So as Krishna is avatari, Mahaprabhu is as well, because there is no difference between Krishna and Mahaprabhu. Rajendra Nandana says, Sachi Sutta Haulahe, says Sanatana Das. He was born as the son of Nanda Maharaj, now is born as the son of Sachi. They are exactly the same person. So let's go through there are so many avatars. Asankhya says the Bhagavatam, you cannot count them, but let's briefly go through the Das avatar, the classical parade of 10 main divine descents, and how those somehow play themselves out through Golila, through Mahaprabhu. And then we will concentrate at Nrisimhadev through Mahaprabhu. It's okay? Do you have your blessings?
Yes.
I need them, please. So we can begin with Matsya avatar. Let's follow the sequence of the Das avatar stotram. So Matsya appears in which form?
Fish.
So what's the typical situation of a fish? Like, you have a saying in English, like, I'm like a fish out of water. Okay, in Spanish we have also as well. We are not that far culturally in some ways. So a fish cannot live out of the blue waters. Even Matsya Avatar, no, you cannot put him outside of the water, end of the lila or something. So similar, we could say Mahaprabhu was Matsya, Gaur Matsya. And Matsya is depicted golden, interestingly. So he's a golden fish, gold, Gaur Matsya. He cannot live outside of the blue waters of Krishna. Krishna is like a blue ocean. Sham, complexion. And Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but in Radha Bhav. So being in Radha Bhav means I cannot live without Krishna. You follow? So Mahaprabhu cannot live outside the blue waters, the Sham complexion ocean of Krishna. So in that sense we have our Gaur Matsya. Matsya Deva appearing, expressing through Mahaprabhu. One instance. We cannot go in detail. We may get lost and found in there. But let's continue. Let's continue with the next one. Next we have Kurma. Kurma Avatar. So generally a tortoise is known for... I remember when I was a kid, my grandmother had a tortoise in her house. It had like 100 years or something. And when I used to touch, I was curious, no? So I used like to mostly touch the shell, no? Like knocking something. Because when I went there, the tortoise would enter. So I will knock to see if she will open the door or something. Go out again. So the tortoise was like, how do you say in English? Withdrawing all the limbs of his body, her body in this case. So he was performing what we may call pratyahara in yogic terms. No? Retiring your senses from sense objects. No? Sometimes the example is given, tortoise like yoga. No? Pratyahara. So what did Gaur Kurma did in this case? No? I mean, he did not only retire the sense from sense object, but all his limbs enter literally his body in divine ecstasy, Mahabhav. So that was the ultimate tortoise expression. Not only just close my eyes and retire in pratyahara, but the ultimate pratyahara Mahaprabhu showed, like all his limbs actually entering and all these different, how do you say in English? The connection between...
Disjointed.
Sorry?
The joints.
Yeah. Disjointed?
Disjointed.
Exactly. So, in this case, we can make some comparison between Kurma Dev and Sriman Mahaprabhu. Then we can go to Varaha Dev. Varaha Dev, there is a nice story in from Satya Yuga. There was one Brahmin called Vasudev, and he will worship Varaha Dev, the boar avatar. And at one point, he was living in Kola Dweep, interestingly, in Satya Yuga. So Varaha Dev appeared. He wanted darshan of Varaha Dev. And Varaha Dev appeared at one point to him in Satya Yuga and said, I'm giving this darshan, but actually the real deal will come in Kali. So I will come in my fullest form, original form, Mahaprabhu, and you will be born again here in Kola Dweep, and I will appear in front of you. And so it's to say that when Mahaprabhu came in Kali Yuga, when he was once in Kola Dweep, one of the nine islands, which is Kola Dweep, has to do with Varaha Dev. That's what Srila Siddhar Maharaj has his Sri Chaitanya Saraswatma. Mahaprabhu gave this darshan to Vasudev, who appeared again as Vasudev in Gaur Lila. Mahaprabhu asked for a pot of water. And he, in the Mahaprakash Lila, this Lila on the great epiphany, Mahaprabhu for 21 hours was showing all these different forms and the identities of his devotees. And he showed that to him. Oh, he showed himself as Varaha to him. He took one pot of water like if he were picking the earth as Varaha. And Vasudev had this epiphany like, oh my gosh, you know, everything makes sense now. Sati Yuga, Kali Yuga, Varaha. No? So in that sense we have our Gaur Varaha expression, if you will, in Gaur Lila. Then we jump over Nrisimhadev for a minute and let's go to the end of the Dasavatara and then we return. Who is the one who follows? We have to think in Darwinian terms. No, you start with the fish, tortoise, and gradually evolutionary sequences. Vamandev. Yeah, Vamandev. So the dwarf avatar. So how Mahaprabhu is appearing as a dwarf? Well, of course, I'm being kind of poetic to adjust some of the presentation. I hope you accept that. But Mahaprabhu himself, I mean, Vamandev appeared as a dwarf in front of Bali Maharaj, as we know. Appears very small, very naive, just three steps of land. That's all what I am asking for Madhukari. And we know how the story unfolded. Where it was three steps, but huge ones. So he became eventually, he's called sometimes as Urukrama or Trivikrama. That's two names for Balan Dev. He who gives, who makes three wondrous steps, basically. So he started Vaman, dwarf, he ended Urukrama, giant. So that's how Mahaprabhu also started his conversations with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakasananda Saraswati, Keshava Kashmir. He started very humble. I'm nobody, please teach me. I'm just so ignorant. And he did it, and eventually he started to grow, expand, and show who he actually was, converting all these great personalities in a moment. So he showed his Trivikram form eventually by converting all these great personalities. So that's it. Gaur Vaman Prakash or something, if you will. Then we have Parashuram, who came as basically with the purpose of chastising the corrupt governing class many times. It is said that he created 90 rivers of blood. It sounds a little bit gore. We are speaking about gore, but some gore elements are in between. So he created 90 rivers of blood by killing all these like corrupt, you say, corrupt personalities, corrupt, killing the impious kings. And we could say Mahaprabhu, how Mahaprabhu became Parasuram in this sense. Well, he killed the Asuric mentality. Mahaprabhu didn't kill anyone in his lila. Now, he didn't need to resort to four arms and weapons and all that stuff that other forms have. He was powerful enough to just convert others by glancing, by raising his arms, by singing. That was powerful enough. So he killed lots of demonic mentalities, and he created many rivers, but not of blood, but rivers of ecstatic tears. Now, he put everyone to sing and dance in ecstatic loves of tears, and tears while falling, like cascading in the eyes of all his followers. So more than 90 rivers he created. So in that sense, we see not only how Mahaprabhu is showing something of these avatars, but actually like transcending them, if you will, and showing something even higher. Then we get to Ramachandra. We spoke about that, as I mentioned, in Queens one month ago or something. And there are many ways we can say that Mahaprabhu is showing Ramachandra. As we know, Ramachandra is Mariyad Purushottam. He's the Supreme Personality when he's showing the perfect decorum as the ideal king and so on. And this is this famous verse in the Bhagavatam, which is ascribed by some to Ramachandra, but actually it connects to Mahaprabhu. Tyakta sudusta ja surepsita raja lakshmin dharmishta arya vachasam jadagadaranyam mayamrigam daita epsitu ambadavat Mandi Mahapurushati Chiranaravindam. There are two verses like this which end with the same line. After the famous Krishna Varnam Tisad Krishnam Sangopangastra Parsham, this verse from the 11th canto, which is for us about Mahaprabhu. And then comes two more verses that seem that to speak about Ramachandra, but they come just after the description of the Kali Yuga avatar. So it doesn't fit to be speaking about Ramachandra there. But everyone will say, but this verse is saying he renounced the most beautiful royal queen. And everyone say, that's Sita Devi. We say, no, that's Vishnu Priya. Mahaprabhu accepted sannyas. Dharmista Arya Bachasat Jadagadaran. And he had to go to the forest because of the curse of one Brahmin. That's Ramachandra. We say, no, there are curses in every lila. There is always some Brahmin cursing everyone, so we can connect with every lila. But in this case, it connects to Mahaprabhu. He was cursed to, may your family life be not a success. Mahaprabhu said, go, Haribo, and he accepted sannyas, which is go to the forest. And mayamrigam daita ipsitu ambadavat can mean he went behind this like golden deer, like when we know Sita asked that to Ramachandra, but also can refer to he went behind the people who was attracted by Maya Shakti, running after them and trying to save them. That's Mahaprabhu's campaign. And so in that sense, we can say, as Ramachandra behaved in such a way, Mahaprabhu did so as a sannyasi. Now, the maryad or the decorum of Ramachandra was there in Mahaprabhu as a sannyasi. He was very very strict in his acharya lila, his sannyas lila. Or like one devotee once said, Ramachandra make monkeys his followers. So here I am, a monkey trying to engage in bhakti by the grace of Mahaprabhu. and as Ramachandra constructed this setu bandhan, or this like bridge with the stones, also he's trying to do, he's walking over our stone-like heart and creating a bridge from this world to the other, welcoming us there in Nityanavadu as well. So some ways of connecting Ram Lila with Mahaprabhu. Then we get to Balaram. So Balaram, we can see also how Mahaprabhu entered in the mood of Sri Baladev many times asking for Baroni ecstatically. And the devotees brought him water. But for him it was enough. That was Baroni. It's all a subjective perception. So he exhibited this. At one point also absorbing Brajabab, he mistook Ganga with the Jamuna, and he tried to, how do you say?
Drive.
The river. So in this sense, he performed many of Baladev's lila, entering into that mood many occasions. Then we have Buddha. So what's the characteristic of Buddha? What's the main? Ahimsa. No? Ahimsa, which is non-violence. So Buddha proposed non-violence. Mahaprabhu executed non-violence as well. As I mentioned, he didn't kill anyone. Almost the only avatar or face of the Lord who is not killing anyone. And again, not only didn't kill anyone, but converted all of them to his gospel of divine love. No? And for us, the ultimate application of non-violence is not only not harming people, but giving them the highest positive value. So that's why Mahaprabhu is called Mahavadanya Avatar, the most magnanimous, merciful, compassionate face of the divine. So in that sense, we have our Gaur Buddha appearing there. And finally, Kalki Avatar, yet to come, getting closer. although, interestingly, some Gaudiya Acharyas say Mahaprabhu will create such a flood in this world that Kalki Avatar will run out of job. He didn't have anything to do. And if he comes, he will join the Sankirtan and start to dance on top of his white horse and so on. But we can say Kalki Avatar will come with a sword, this is described in the Bhagavatam, mounting on his horse, and will kill all the demons. So similarly, Mahaprabhu is coming in Kali as Kalki Avatar, but again with the sword of Sri Harinam. And again, not killing people per se, but killing the demonic mentality. So some words about Mahaprabhu in connection to the Das Avatar, but we were missing Sri Nishnimhadev. So now we will try to swim in that direction, hopefully drown there. That's a auspicious place to to rest forever. So we already shared some examples of Mahaprabhu being a lion. This verse is about him of Gaur Hari, Gaur Simha. Now we spoke about Mahaprabhu being expressing all the different bhavas of the different Das avatars. So now let's go to Mahaprabhu being the lion. Nishrimhadev Narahari. So let's speak how Mahaprabhu entered Narahari Besh. How he became like embedded, like engrossed into the mood of Nishrimhadev. Some examples. I'll share with you five main situations in the Gaur Lila in which Mahaprabhu is entering this particular bhava. Many interesting things are happening. So let's begin with the first one, chronologically speaking. The first one is in one sense even before Gaur Lila, pre-Gaur Lila Narahari manifestation. And that has to do with Advaita Acharya's worship, inviting Mahaprabhu to come, inviting the Yuga Avatar side of him to descend in this world. As we know, which was Advaita doing for this? What did he do? Send a WhatsApp message, please come, it's time to go? No. Which was?
Worship
the Tulsi. What else? Sheila, Tulsi, Ganga, and? Just external elements, or something was happening in his heart? Okay, some tears were there. So we know, no? So Advaita Acharya was inviting Mahaprabhu through worship with Tulsi Manjaris, Ganga Jal, and worshipping? And which Shalagram? The Shrimha Shila. So Nrisimhadeva is right there from the beginning. Wow. That's for you to bear in mind. Hmm? It's the second. Yeah, Advaita Acharya was crying, as we say, totally desperate by contemplating the situation of the world at that time. It was a second Damodar Lila, basically. You know, Krishna was, Yashoda was running after Krishna and crying and perspirating, trying to tie Krishna. So here Advaita Acharya was running, sweating and crying by seeing the condition of Kali Yuga at that moment. And Bhagavan agreed to be tied by that, if you will, to be brought by that call. So in this way, Nrisimhadeva is there for the beginning. And in the same way, we can draw some parallel here as Advaita Acharya worship with Ganga, worship Nrisimha with Ganga and Tulsi. Similarly, we, in our worship, in our chanting, we can worship our Gaur-simha with Tulsi. We are chanting Japa. Japa Mala is made of Tulsi. So Tulsi is there, Gaur-simha is there, and Ganga Jal is here, no? Some tears. In this way we can follow Advaita Acharya's mode. And when that happens, someday happens, that will be a real celebration of Gaur Purnima, as Acharya say. Gaur Purnima means Mahaprabhu is born in your heart. No? That's Gaur Purnima. That's the ultimate celebration. And of course, work in progress, as we spoke yesterday. Still some ulterior motives may be there. We are trying to clean our heart from that. That was similar to the condition of Navadvip at the time where Advaita Acharya called Mahaprabhu to come. Navadvip was not just pure ecstatically gaudious or something like that. So similarly, you know, Advaita Acharya was crying with deep compassion for Navadvip in one sense. No? So similarly, we want to make our heart Navadvip. So first we'll need to, as we mentioned yesterday, to learn to cry with some compassion for ourselves in our present condition, basically. Again, through Tulsi, through Ganga Jal, and seeing our present condition, but seeing our potential, our bright potential for Seva, and cry. Cry in yoga, as we said yesterday. So in that way, we can follow the full steps of Advaita Acharya and call Mahaprabhu to appear in our heart. So this is one first occasion in which we can connect Nrisimhadev with Gaur Lila. Then we have a second. Well, of course, apart from the Lila on earth, we know, we have heard that eternally in the Nitya Lila, Nrisimhadev is there as well, as our Gurus have taught us. In Vrindavan, in Golok Vrindavan, who is the presiding deity at Nanda Maharaj's house? Nrisimhadev. So on a daily basis, Nrisimhadev is worshipped by Madhu Mangal, who is the head pujari at home. Nanda Maharaj sometimes is worshipping. Of course, Nanda Maharaj is worshipping Nrisimhadev only thinking, may you protect my boy. As Guru Maharaj says, sometimes we are worshipping the deity, but our mind is somewhere else. Nanda Maharaj is doing the same thing. Worshipping Nrisimha, but his mind is somewhere else. But that somewhere else is Krishna. So that's not somewhere else. That's just the place. And similarly, as the worship of Nrisimhadev is eternal in Braj, worship of Nrisimhadev is eternally in Golok Navadvip. Because not only Advaita Acharya was worshipping Nrisimha Sila, but who worships Nrisimha Sila in Golok Navadvip? Srivas Thakur. So for us, Srivas Sangam, which is Srivas Thakur's place, is our entry point into the Lila of Mahaprabhu. And the deity there is Nrisimhadev. So you can see how present Nrisimhadev is there in our own, all our sampradaya. So in connection, since we mentioned Srivas Thakur, there's one Lila that happened in the Boma Lila here. As you know, Srivas Thakur was hosting Mahaprabhu and the Naik Sankirtan, and there was some opposition. Again, it's not that everyone said, like, okay, I'm joining the Sankirtan. No, some Muslims were trying to defame Srivas Thakur, were threatening him. They had put on the door of his place some elements that are typical of Kali worship, like meat and wine and whatever, some skull or something. No? And when Srivas Thakur saw that, no? What was his reaction, which is interesting, he said, okay, everyone, see, finally, it is shown who I am. He didn't say, who is the rascal who has done this? I will pay to someone who investigate to know the person and take revenge. He didn't say anything like that. We may do that. Who commented that in my Facebook post? I will, whatever, take revenge. I will, like, denounce him on the legal, whatever. No? Srivastava Thakur, yeah, minimum blood, yeah. Srivastava Thakur say, hey, everyone see, this is who I am, actually, finally. No? But as we know, no, then in those days, there was some tension and there was some opposition. So one day Srivastava Thakur was in Srivasangam worshipping Nrisimhadev with closed doors, absorbing the worship. And as we know, there's some that type of knocking. Thank you, Sumati, for adding to the soundtrack. So it was not like it was more like throw it again. Thank you. Yeah? So Sri was just like, what's going on? The Muslims are coming to kill me or whatever. Mahaprabhu is saying, that person you are worshipping inside is the one who is knocking your door here. He said. He was worshipping the Srimhati. Mahaprabhu says, that one you are worshipping inside is the one knocking your door. Open the door. He spoke loudly. And then, as you know, the Leela, Srivas opens the door, and Mahaprabhu shows his form as Narahari, Gaur Simha. And Srivas was like, what's going on? Because last day, this is the very beginning of the unfolding of the Leela on earth. And the last day, Mahaprabhu had said in one katha with his devotees, no jiva can be God. And at this point, many of the associates of Mahaprabhu were not realizing in the Leela he's God. They thought, okay, he's Nimaya and he's now converted and he's exalted Vaishnava, but God, that's some. So still they are. He said yesterday, I mean, no jiva can be God. And now he's saying the one you're worshipping is here knocking on your door. Imagine, like Madan Gopal is worshipping Ram Govinda and I knock and say, hey, the one on your altar is knocking here. And say, Maharaj, I mean, everything was nice till today, but now you short circuit, something happened. But Mahaprabhu showed himself in Nrisimhadev, so that was for Shiva. So this is the gradual awakening of his associates, like, oh, he's Bhagavan. And as my Guru Maharaj used to say, not only he's Bhagavan, because the thinking will be what? If he's Bhagavan, where are his associates? Because Bhagavan never comes alone. Bhagavan is always adorned by his retinue. So where are his associates? And Guru Maharaj will say, they will gradually realize, oh, it's us. We are his associates. So this way, in another Leela, we are encore Leela, as Guru Maharaj will say. No? So in this way, this happens. No? This unfolding comes. And Mahaprabhu is showing to Srivas as Ugra Nrisimhadev. Because the situation required that. The Muslims were threatening. So some intense presence was required. So Mahaprabhu shows as Ugra Nrisimhadev. Ugra means basically terrible. Basically, angry and terrible. The word Ugra is terrible, ferocious, and so on. No? And he says to Srivas, offer prayers. No? So he's offering. Ugra is showing anugraha, as we say yesterday. Anugraha means anukampa, kripa, karuna, mercy. So Ugra is showing anugraha. So Srivas starts to pray to Nrisimhadev, Gaur Nrisimhadev. Mahaprabhu says, do not fear, nothing will happen. I'll protect your Sankirtan. They don't have anything to fear here. So in this way, we see how Mahaprabhu is protecting his devotees as Nrisimhadev does. And on top of that, he's giving prem. He's giving Braja prem. I'm protecting his devotees. Nrisimhadev is not giving Braja prem himself directly. But through Mahaprabhu, Nrisimhadev manifests and protects and gives Braja prem. So in that sense, we can conclude the worship of Gaur Simha, in one sense, is much more fruitful than worshiping Nrisimhadev separately from Mahaprabhu. Of course, we can have the deity of Nrisimhadev, but in our conception, in the worship, we should always make Mahaprabhu part of the equation, if you will. Not thinking, now this is only Nrisimhadev and Mahaprabhu is rolling on the ground somewhere else or something. No. We should see Mahaprabhu there. As we mentioned, Nrisimhadev is an aspect of Krishna, and Mahaprabhu is not only Krishna himself. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says Paratattva Simha, which means Mahaprabhu is the highest reach of Krishna. So it's Krishna in his most upgraded version, as we will say. Because as Krishna, he still has something to accomplish, which happens as Mahaprabhu. Again, I'm not creating dichotomy. They are not two different people. Try to bear this in mind. I'm not saying Mahaprabhu is better than Krishna. I mean, they are the same person. You cannot say these type of things. But my point is, if Nisrimhadev is an aspect of Krishna and Mahaprabhu is no other than Krishna himself, then Nisrimhadev is an aspect of Mahaprabhu. So it's important that we learn to think in these Gaudiya terms. So we, as Gaudiyas, worship the Nrsimha aspect of Mahaprabhu, basically. That would be the conception. Not like, again, Nrsimha here, Mahaprabhu somewhere else. Nrsimhadev, the Nrsimha side of Mahaprabhu, which is coming in these different leelas. And again, we are not worshipping that Nrsimha side only to be freed from the Hiranyakashipus in our heart, if you will, and to obtain liberation from fear. But again, we worship Nrsimha through Mahaprabhu, because through Mahaprabhu we not only obtain that, but we are promoted to eternal service in Golok Vrindavan, in Golok Navadvip as well. So Narahari is half lion, half man, half lion, but Mahaprabhu is full lion, full golden lion. The complete lion, if you will. Anyhow, that's the second example of Nrsimhadev coming through Mahaprabhu, just to keep in mind. Let's go to the third one, also with Sribas, because again, they are in, Nrsimhadev is in the altar there. So one day Sribas Thakur was celebrating a Shraddha ceremony for his departed father. So there was kind of a ceremony in the classical Indian culture. So he asked Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu was there. So Sribas asked Mahaprabhu, what should I do now as part of the ritual? Mahaprabhu said, recite Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, which is the thousand names of Vishnu, one of which is Narahari. So Sriva starts to recite Vishnu Sahasranam, and at one point he says, Narahari. So you can imagine how the story continues. Mahaprabhu hears Narahari, and he felt himself addressed, called. So he fully enters into the mood of Sri Nrsimhadev. I mean, Sriva was there with many family members who were all like celebrating this religious ceremony, and suddenly, you try to imagine, suddenly Mahaprabhu enters in the mood of Nrsimha, Ugra Nrsimha, and starts to run after everyone. And everyone starts to run, totally terrified, and calling God, Narayan, Vishnu, Krishna, protect us, and Mahaprabhu is running after everyone. No? So Srivas thought, I was offering Shraddha for my departed father, I think I will have to offer Shraddha for many more in 1 minute. A few more will be killed in the morning. So eventually Mahaprabhu's bhav becomes appeased. So he goes to Srivas and asks forgiveness. Sorry what I did. I mean, I didn't know what happened, but I kind of noticed that there was some disturbance, no? But Srivas say, no problem. I mean, you made all of them run and chant the names of Hari with deep feeling. So all of them were blessed, basically. You made them chant Hari Nam. Maybe without that, some of them were atheists, so now invoke the name, as the saying goes. Now everyone is an atheist until the plane is going down. Or until Mahaprabhu enters Narahari Besh. That's another option here. So that's the third example of Nrsimhadev appearing through Mahaprabhu. The fourth one, which is a pretty well-known one, is in connection to the Chand Kasi, which is also part of this tension between the Muslims and the Gaudiyas and the beginning of the Sankirtan. And as we know, at one point, one agent of Chand Kasi went to Shriva Sangam, to one Mridanga, and broke the Mridanga in Sriva Sangam. You can go now to Sriva Sangam, and one of the three altars depict that scene. No? Panchatattva is there, and one broken Mridanga is there in the altar, basically. No? So like a threat, and if you continue doing this, we will force you to become Muslims, and we will make you eat meat, and all these type of things. No? So there was some concern in the Gaudiya community at this point. So as we know, Mahaprabhu, long story short, tells all of them, don't be afraid, remember what I promised you, don't be afraid, I will protect you. So let's take torch and the Sankirtan, which till that moment was only night Sankirtan, Ras Sankirtan at Sriva Sangam, went out. Now, that's the first time we have Nagar Sankirtan, or what sometimes called Harinam, know, technically it's Nagar Sankirtan, congregational chanting in the streets on the way to chant Kasi. So you can imagine chant Kasi, saw the whole thing, many people outside, all with torch, pretty much agitated. He was like, oh, what to do now? So eventually Mahaprabhu has some private audience with chant Kasi, and some of Mahaprabhu's associates were there, and the chant Kasi said, I would like to tell you something, but in private. And Mahaprabhu very nicely said, we are in private now. These are my private associates. I don't have anything separate from them. They know my heart fully. I know their heart fully. Sadabho hridayam mayam sadunam hridayam tuham. Krishna says in the Gita, my devotees are my heart. I am the heart of my devotees. Madanyati na jananti naham tebhya managapi. They do not know anyone apart from me. I don't know anyone apart from them. So Mahaprabhu made that point. You want to, my associates to go out so you can speak with me in private, but Mahaprabhu was trying to make sense. What do you mean by that? I mean, we are non-different. That's a dynamic union in love. So the point is, associates were there, and Chant Kasi starts to describe a dream he had last night, as you know. And he said, in this dream, a very thunderous sound came, a very ferocious personality appeared, roaring, half man, half lion. And he took me and threw me through the ground and started to tear apart my chest. No? And I opened my chest, Hanuman-like style, but not voluntary opening. That was done by Hanuman himself in this case, but someone else doing that. And this personality, Chant Kasi said to Mahaprabhu, told me, do not ever break that mridanga again, because that's my favorite instrument. So mridanga is Nrsimhadev's favorite instrument. That's for you to know. So basically, and as you know, Chant Kasi say, and that's not all, because that's pretty much to have such a dream. Try to imagine, you wake up, the last day the mridanga was broken, and now this dream comes, do not ever do that. And he was like, but he said, that's not all. And he shows to Mahaprabhu and opened his chest, and all these scratchings were on his chest, actually, became manifest in the Chant Kasi's eyes. I was like, wow. Nrsimha Bhagavan. No? So these type of sections are the ones that sometimes also depict Nrsimhadev as the protector of Sankirtan, basically. We were singing some prayers also today by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which are pretty much connected with Mahaprabhu's dispensation, the Ragamar. I think last year, 2 years ago, we were studying them here, actually. So very, very nice prayers. And Nrsimha Bhagavan plays a role in this connection when, for example, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, he sent his first, how is it in English, emissaries to the West. He gave them Nrsimha Kavaj. So they may be protected while visiting the very beautiful places they were going to visit. Not for all types of influences. Or, as you may know, when Srila Prabhupada felt sick very delicately at one point, the prayers of Nrsimhadev that we sang before were not sung in ISKCON, like an official daily function. It all began when Srila Prabhupada felt considerably sick, and the devotees asked him what to do in any way. So he gave this. He combined the prayer, because the prayers we sang today, there are two parts. The first, and they are pretty much connected to Mahaprabhu also. Because the first part, Namaste, Narasimhaya, and so on, were sung by Mahaprabhu himself when he traveled South India and visited many Narasimha temples that are there in South India. So that first part is sung by Mahaprabhu himself. And the last part, Tavakara Kamala, that comes from Dasavatar Stotram, which is part of Gita Govinda, which Mahaprabhu used to relish in the last years in the Gambir. So Srila Prabhupada put together these two sections, the two of them connected to Mahaprabhu, and from that on that was established on a daily basis mostly. But that's the background of that. So we see how Nrsimhadev is connected in this connection, no? To protect Sankirtan, protect the Bhaktas and so on. Let's go to one more example, the fifth one, of how Mahaprabhu expresses Nrsimhadev is expressed through Mahaprabhu, and that has to do with the son of Advaita Acharya, one of them. He had many sons. Gopal. So once Gopal, Advaita's son, he fainted in Sankirtan, no, ecstatic, fainting. But Advaita is his father, so he was somehow happy to see that. Wow, my child fainted in Sankirtan. That's pretty awesome. But also concerned. No? I mean, hopefully he returns back and shares the nectar with his father or something. So he thinks, I'll invoke Nrsimhadev for protection. It is described in Shastra. But he says he does this by calling Gaur Simha, calling Mahaprabhu, actually. He thinks, he thought about Nrsimhadev, but in practice, he called Gaur. No? Like making this type of, again, connection, conceptual connection that he made. Trying to make this point, they are non-different. By calling Mahaprabhu, it's not that Nrsimhadev is left out of the equation or something like that. You follow my point. But you can worship Nrsimhadev without necessarily making Mahaprabhu part of the equation, basically, in one sense. So again, Nrsimhadev is non-different from Krishna. Krishna is non-different from Gaur. Gaur is non-different from Nrsimhadev. Over and over again, it's important that we connect this. So those are five important moments in which Mahaprabhu exhibited this Nrsimha face. And on top of this, of course, we can share some words about how much Mahaprabhu relished hearing, my Guru Maharaj today mentioned that at the end of the lecture, hearing Prahlad Charit. No? Mahaprabhu will hear Bhagavatam, especially in his Acharya Leela in Jagannath Puri, visiting Gadadhar Pandit in Tota Gopinath. He will hear Bhagavatam Katha every single day for hours. And the favorite section that he will hear from Gadadhar Pandit, you may think, oh, Rasa Panchadhyaya, Rasa Leela, no. Brahmar Gita, Song of the Bumblebee, no. Gopi Gita, no. Jugal Gita, no. Venu Gita, no. Pranaya Gita, no. Stop with the Gitas. Bhagavad Gita, no. So which was the favorite section that Mahaprabhu over and over again? Some section from the 10th canto, no. What's going on? Some problem is going on. No. So favorite section was Prahlad Charit. It is said that he will hear one time, and when the section was over, Anayor. As the Govardhan Lila says, Anayor, no? More, again. Hundreds of times he will hear Prahlad Charit. No? So, Guru Maharaj always likes to quote Bhakti Bhalav Tirtha Maharaj, and I understand when he quotes him, because I saw that video of Srila Bhakti Vallabh Tirtha Maharaj. He's a very special sadhu, successor of Acharya Bhakti Daita Mat Maharaj. I had the fortune of meeting him personally some years ago. And he has this famous talk when he's emphasizing Mahaprabhu. I won't shout like him. But all the things that I'm saying now, he will say like top volume. And like punching, like, but ecstatically. You know? So Mahaprabhu will hear Prahlad Charit one time, and do you think after that, what did he say? I already know that. Oh, that's all. That's not so deep and rustic. Tell me something. No, he will ask again, Prahlad Maharaj, and again, for 100 times. No? But we, and they were kind of like, someone tells, let's speak about Prahlad Maharaj. I know that story. No, tell me something new or something higher, something more esoteric. So Mahaprabhu daily was hearing this. So the point is, we have to hear the Bhagavatam in such a way that our heart is melting. You know, it's getting softer, softer, and not to the point of, I already listened to that. That's not a symptom of a soft heart. I know that. Mahaprabhu is not doing that. So we have to learn how to relish the Bhagavatam. It's not that, I already know that story. Oh, Maharaj, already 1 hour of class. We are fasting today. I'm hungry. That's not the way to hear the Bhagavatam. That was not Prahlad Maharaj, the main hero of the Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj. At one point they say, Vrishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in his commentary, Sukadev Goswami stops his narration and says to Parikshit Maharaj, maybe you are a little tired and hungry, you want to take something. I can stop speaking now. Or like testing his disciple. And Parikshit Maharaj was like, I'm eating up every moment by hearing from you. I'm like, I can't up to the neck. I'm drinking and eating and relishing and being nourished by your Bhagavad Katha. You are asking me if I need something to eat. I mean, I'm... But I want more also. Mm-hmm. I want more. There's no end to that. Vibhata Bhagavatam Rasa Malaya. So the point is that, no, we have to reach the point in our hearing when we will never think, I already heard that one. That means you never heard that one. Basically. He will say that, Tirtha Maharaj will end. If you say, I already heard that one, you never heard that one. And he will like shout like nothing. And he will reach like, okay. So of course, why Mahaprabhu was so fond of Prahlad Charit, on one level we could say he wanted as an acharya, in his acharya lila, to make clear the foundation for the Braja Bhakti temple in the heart, which is again, selflessness, universal compassion, all these things Prahlad Maharaj embodied, Sutta Bhakti. Prahlad Maharaj represents pure bhakti, foundational pure bhakti. On top of that, so many layers of pure bhakti come, but pure bhakti to begin with, Prahlad Maharaj. Of course, that's one meaning why Mahaprabhu want to hear that. Of course, a deeper meaning we could say, he will like Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Charit. No? Again, two sections which are not apparently that esoteric. But the two of them, Prahlad and Dhruva Maharaj, were in Vrindavan at one point also. I want to say Prahlad in Govardhan and Dhruva Maharaj in Madhuban. So we could say in a deeper sense, Mahaprabhu was connected to that Vrindavan side of the story and he asked for more. But even in a deeper sense, we could say the ultimate reason why Mahaprabhu wanted to hear Prahlad Charit so much is, what was Mahaprabhu's inner culture? What was his culturing inside? Huh? Radha Bhav. So Radha Bhav means what Radha feels for Krishna. And her feeling for Krishna is in the context of Parakiya Bhav. And Parakiya Bhav means a love that is filled with obstacles. That's a very definition of love that Rupa Goswami gives in Uchval Nilamani. It means love means that things that despite of all obstacles never diminishes. But on the contrary, that love conquers all the obstacles and nourishes itself from the obstacles. Mm-hmm. He gives the example of a lion, going back to the mm-hmm. lion for a minute. A lion is facing an elephant, and an elephant appears on the way like an obstacle. No, I want to fight with you, whatever. It's an obstacle, or a big personality. And the lion will kill the elephant, will feed from the elephant, will gain strength from the obstacle, and will continue his campaign. Mm-hmm. So similarly, Sri Radha has so many obstacles on a daily basis. To begin with, he has a pretty dysfunctional family. No? Abhimanyu, Jatila, Kutila. They are not, in the context of the Leela, of course, they are Nityasiddhas. I'm saying dysfunctional, how they behave to enhance the Parakiya experience. No, I mean, they are pretty crucial. No? Like Jatila. Jatila means crooked. No, Jata means this like dreadlocks. So Jatila means like dreadlock mentality, not dreadlock, criticizing the dreadlock in itself. Everything is okay, Bhakti Lata. But dreadlocks like the hair is, how do you say?
Matted.
Yeah. So a mind, dreadlock mind basically is the idea, no? You can have dreadlocks here, but in your mind that may be more problematic. No? So that's Jatila. No? Kutila means crooked. No? Love moves in a crooked way. So that's Jatila. Kutila. So the two of them always like mistrusting Radha and putting, oh, well, you know, I don't want to enter the details. So many obstacles she has to conquer on her daily abhisar. Abhisar means love journey. No? To reach Krishna, to meet Krishna in the Kunj. So my point is, Mahaprabhu will hear Prahlad Charit. Remember, we are speaking about Prahlad Charit. So you say, what has Prahlad Charit to do with that, with Parakiya? Prahlad Charit had to go through so many obstacles, no? One after another, coming from his father, who wanted to kill him many times. So Mahaprabhu will relish all this and how Prahlad will overcome all those obstacles, but in the context of his Radha Bhava experience and how Sri Radha conquers all these obstacles for the sake of Parakiya Bhava. So that's another connection of Sriman Mahaprabhu with Nrsimhadev and Prahlad Maharaj by extension. And since we mentioned Sri Radha, Vrindavan and Parakiya Bhava, with your permission, I'd like to conclude today's session presentation and also we spoke something about Dasavatar at the beginning. So I would like to make hopefully a full circle, going back to Dasavatar for a minute, to some of them, and going back to Radha's Parakya Bhav, trying to wrap up in which way, in a way that all this ends up connecting again with Mahaprabhu. But for that we need to go to one book from Rupa Goswami, very nice poetry work called Hamsa Dutta. It's a very nice, very, very nice book, Hamsa Dutta. Which means basically the swan messenger. Swan, Hamsa, Dutta means messenger. So this is a book in which we will find a series of messages delivered through a swan to Krishna, who is outside of Vrindavan. He's in Dwarka. We are in the Prakat Lila here. So Lalita Sakhi, we know he's pretty bold and intense. So she's speaking on behalf of her swamini, of her mistress, Sri Radha, who is dying in separation of Krishna every time more. Krishna's in Dwarka. So a swan happens to come in the Jamuna to Vrindavan. And Lalita Devi sends a message to Krishna through a messenger swan from Vrindavan to Dwarka. So that's the whole Hamsa Dutta, a series of messages that the swan delivers to Krishna through the swan that Lalita is sending. And she's depicting Radha's condition in separation and how all Vrindavan is basically dying without him. You can imagine. It's very intense, emotionally speaking. And this is almost the last section of the book when Lalita Devi will refer to each one of the Dasavatars, but in a very unique way, as you can imagine. She will refer to each one of the Dasavatars and compare Krishna to each, some aspect of the Dasavatar with Krishna's cruelty of not returning to Vrindavan. So I'd like to share a few of them, not all, a few of them. This will depict Radha's extreme condition of separation. And of course, as we know, all this will take Krishna to try to realize the nobility, integrity of Radha's love and try to do something about it, try to repay his debt with her, trying to taste her love and appear as Mahaprabhu. So I'd like to share a few verses. One, we will conclude with one connect to Nrisimhadev for sure. But let's begin with Matsya and Kurma. These two and then Nrisimhadev. So this is the message of Lalita Sakhi through the swan to Krishna in Dwarka. So she says, "O great fish, Matsya, my Sakhi baited the hook of her heart with the delicacy of love just to catch you, casting it into the nectarian waters. But not only did you swallow up both bait and hook, but you broke the string of her reason. Alas, what can the poor girl do now?" So that's the swan speaking to Krishna in Dwarka. You can imagine how Krishna is feeling when hearing this. And then Kurma says, "O Krishna, my pitiful friend was attracted to you when she saw your attractive form and your dalliances. She was both curious and greatly enlivened. But when she approached you, you immediately started to behave like a tortoise, hiding your beautiful limbs and showing only a hard shell. Is such behavior proper?" So that's Lalita Sakhi speaking, no? We know her. That's her hairstyle, her landmark. So there are some others. I will try to be brief, and let's conclude with the verse connected to Nrisimhadev. It's a very unique approach to Nrisimha Chaturdasi by Lalita Sakhi. "Although your pastimes as half man and half lion are long since past, you have not yet abandoned the mood of that incarnation. At that time you showed favor to Prahlad, while to others you displayed extreme cruelty, tearing open their hearts. This time also you have shown preference for Akrura, while you tear open our hearts by leaving us so feelinglessly." So then you cannot say Nishinha Bhagavanki. Krishna won't say that. It's like, okay. No? So in this way, Lalita Sakhi is describing Radha's extreme condition of separation. And by Krishna witnessing the degree of Radha's love for him, basically shown by separation, as we know, by witnessing her Vipralamba Bhav, he wants to taste that, as we know, as Krishna. He wants to taste Radha Baba, and he wants to repay the debt of love that he acquired with the gopis, with the, and with Radha in particular. So in this way, in this moment, we could say Krishna is hearing this verse about Nrisimhadev from the swan, and he's reminded of his form as Nrisimhadev, as described as it was by Lalita Devi, and Krishna made his mind, okay, this lion description reminded me of something, so that I will try to now that I will make my mind to reappear as another lion. No, he will appear as golden form as Gaur Simha. Sri Sachinandan Gaur Hari Ki Jaya. Some words we wanted to share today regarding Nrisimhadev in connection with Mahaprabhu, Krishna Lila, Dasavatar. And I don't know if there are any questions, something you may like to share, to ask today. Yes, Kamalini. Okay.
When the swan went, it wasn't Mathura? Because Mathura is so far away. And it's over
a long journey for the swan.
I thought it was just up the Yamuna.
Maybe it can be Mathura. Maybe I was mistaken with that detail. I'm not sure. I say Dwarka, I don't know why. But probably it can be Mathura, yeah. It will be much user-friendly for this one, for sure. But yeah.
And so Lord Nrisimhadev only appears for a few hours, you could say, right?
Oh.
I mean, that's all.
Yeah.
And then goes back to his abode.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, we must say in that connection with Srila Rupa Goswami confirms in his Lagu Bhagavatamrita, that he mentioned that every single avatar of Bhagavan has his corresponding abode in Vaikuntha. So there are different planets in Vaikuntha. When you say Vaikuntha, it's not one place. And all different phases of the Absolute have their particular abodes. And of course, Nrisimhadev is not an exception to the rule, basically. No? So my point is, he may only appear for a few hours, no? Wrestling with Hiranyakashipu and watching the clock, like, okay, still it's not the moment. Evening is coming. Okay, doing. But he resides for eternity in his own planet in Vaikuntha. So there are devotees who have Nrisimhadev as his sister there, and they may go there. It is said that, for example, Sridhar Swami, the famous commentator of the Bhagavatam, the Mahaprabhu revered so much, his sister there was Nrisimhadev. My Guru Maharaj, when he worships Nrisimhadev internally, he does so in that one of the ways is in that connection. No, like as you enlighten Sridhar Swami to properly understand the Bhagavatam, give me your blessing so I can understand the Bhagavatam properly. No, that's what it's saying in the famous Braham Bedi Sukobeti Vyasobeti Naveti Ba Sridharam Sarvabeti Narasingha Prasidatam. No, because Sridhar Swami, he was an Advaitin. I mean, some of them consider he is an Advaitin, but we go to say, no, he was a devotee of Vaishnav, but he presented his commentary with some admixture of Advaita Vedanta as to, like, hook-bait strategy to catch them. So his commentary was at one point, like, when he presented it in the society of Advaita Vedanta, that was considered, okay, there are some things nice, Advaita Vedantic, they thought, but the other things are like, this is strange. So we'll put the commentary in front of one deity, of one Shiva Lingam at that place, and let's see what happens. If it's not bona fide, something has to happen. The book has to burn or something. They were expecting something, no? So it is said they put the book there, and next day this verse came. Well, Shiva, say, Ambeti, say, Sukoveti Vyasuveti. I know the Bhagavatam, Sukadev knows the Bhagavatam, Vyasadev may not know, that's another class altogether. But Sridharam Sarvabheti Narasimha Prasidatam. By Sridhar Swami, Sarvabheti, he knows everything about the Bhagavatam, Narasimha Prasidatam, by the mercy of Nrisimhadev. No? So we go there, follow that line. Okay, we want to, I mean, the Bhagavatam is our main book, and we want to understand about it. So we can pray to Nrisimhadev also in that connection. You have one question?
Yeah, I was wondering, it's two questions in one.
Okay.
Yes. Is Nisringadev also the presiding, like leading Satchimata and what you think is like home, as well as like, if so, it's I was just curious if there's any words you could say about Nisringadev being on the altar also in Goloka as well.
Hmm. Okay. Well, in Gaur Lila, in Navadvip here, or Nitya Navadvip, the eternal Navadvip, generally the main deity mentioned is Narayan, which is, of course, again, it's not someone else. But generally, for example, when we study the Gaur Stakaliya Lila, there's a part of the day where Satchimata will call Mahaprabhu for, that will be the Pratalila, which is from 6 to 8:24 a.m. So one moment there, apart from the Bhagavatam class of Gadadhar Pandit every day and so on, it's such as inviting Mahaprabhu to have darshan at the temple of Sriman Narayan. So Mahaprabhu will go, but it's kind of the family deity, basically. Something like that. No, that's how it's presented, like the household deity. It's not so much that Mahaprabhu is worshipping Narayan in the spirit of Aishwarya and I want to go to Vaikuntha or something like that. No, there are Krishna Bhaktas in the Lila. No, all of them worship Krishna through Sankirtan, but the family deity is Narayan. Not like ancient tradition. Of course, we're speaking about the Nitya Lila. There's no ancient tradition. But the Lila is described in the context of some... There are cultural sensibilities in the Lila. There is some Varna Ashram. There's Vaidhi Bhakti, as my Guru Maharaj will say. Nanda Maharaj worships Narasimha Sila and Golok in Vaidhi Bhakti. Not following all rules, regularly, everything very paka. I mean, they are the role models to follow in Raga Bhakti for us. But when you go there, you find, oh, they are practicing Vaidhi Bhakti. Not with Krishna. Because they are not worshipping Krishna. They love Krishna. But they conduct worship in the altar in a rules and regulations form, if you will. No? So why Nrsimhadev is there in Golok Vrindavan? Again, we could say Nrsimhadev is very much connected with this notion of protection. No? Apart from saying family deity, household deity, this notion of protection. And the ones in charge there are in Nandishwar, Nanda Baba and Srimati Yashoda Rani, so... And they are, I mean, the epitome of Vatsalya Bhav. So they are totally, the symptom of Vatsalya is Falana, no? Falana and Poshana, which means protection and nourishing. And that's mother, father, and Krishna being their little child. So there has to be a deity that corresponds. They are the owners of the house, Nandan Yashoda, and everything is for Krishna. So the deity is Nrsimhadev because it's the very personification of protection and nourishing, as I mentioned. They worship Nrsimhadev in Vaidhi Bhakti, but the goal of the worship is, again, make Krishna be protected. And when Krishna is going every morning with his friends and cows, Yashoda will appear and will tie so many different, like 108 Nrsimha kavachas, you know, and recite all these mantras and different Narayan kavacha, all the things that we may think, oh, that has to do with Vaidhi Bhakti, it's not so... So raga marga like, but the ragatmikas are totally engaged in that on a daily basis. No? So in that sense, Nrsimhadev is pretty much present, and he's protecting Krishna quite nicely. No? Many times they think like that. No, when Krishna's, you know, dealing with Putana or this Agasur, just like kilometers length demons, and Krishna is like this, a very small baby and child. And there are many ways they figure out why Krishna was not killed and why such a thing was killed by Krishna. At least they say that, but they cannot believe. But at least the conclusion is, one conclusion is, okay, Gargacharya say Narayan will do wonderful things, but other thing will say, oh no, Nanda Maharaj is doing his very nice paka puja every day to Nrsimhadev. Nrsimhadev is protecting our Lal. So Nrsimhavanki, and they start to glorify Nrsimhadev. No. There are different ways of, but yeah, especially in the Vatsalya camp, they will. Like, we see Madhurya come, maybe Lalita Sakhi will invoke Nishinhadev from another side. No? But anyhow, he's present in one rasa or another, for sure. Okay. So I think we can leave here today. And of course, tomorrow you are more than invited. We'll be celebrating the Flute Sword Farm Radha Ramanji's appearance day, which is quite connected with today's celebration in one sense. We have not made that connection. We will leave it for tomorrow. But for you who know a little bit, we know that Prahlad's Bhakti, as it gave birth to Nrsimhadev from a column, also will create a very special inspiration in Gopal Bhatta Goswami's heart for Radha Raman to appear. So if we ask Gaudiyas, if we appreciate properly, Prahlad Bhakti will give us a result, Braja Bhakti. So will give us a result, Radha Raman, if you will. So tomorrow we will be speaking about that. Gurudev ki jai, Shriman Mahaprabhu ki jai, Shri Hari Naam Sankirtan ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nityananda ki jai, Shri Shri Ram Govinda ji ki jai, Nrsimha Bhagavan ki jai, Nrsimha Chaturdasi ki jai, Bhakta Prahlad Maharaj ki jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanand.